Hello and welcome. I'm Henry McKean and this is Under the Covers. Tweet me at Henry McKean and we're here right until the top of the hour, right up until 10 o'clock. And then it's Tom Dunn taking you into the early hours. Wherever you're listening, you're very welcome to the programme. I can't believe it's a whole week back to school now, at least a week, and the evenings are drawing in. It really is getting quite cold and quite dark. We had to have the heating on. Could you imagine? We had the heating on. It really did get quite cold. And a huge amount of positive feedback from Electric Picnic, or EP, as I was saying to my friend. And my friend said, Henry, what is EP? And you forget that not everyone lives in this ridiculous nonsense hashtag EP world. They still say Electric Picnic, which is basically a music festival in a field in Leash, just to break it down. So, coming up on today's show, why are we all so scared of clowns as the It movie comes out?
What we say and what we do don't match up. That's a problem. It sends off a red warning flag in our body, in our mind. And so when you've got somebody who's got the smiley makeup on, but when you see their face really isn't smiley, it's kind of, it makes us a little bit on edge, a little bit nervous.
Or the crack from Electric Picnic or EB. EB? I meant EP. There you go. Electric Picnic. Getting the fear.
Close the curtains, curl up into the fetal position in bed, get your mother to slide the dinner under the door at about, say, 5, 6 o'clock, and then don't leave the room maybe for about 3, 4 days.
And banning funerals on a Sunday.
As far as dying, I mean, you don't choose when you're going to die, but otherwise that's in the hands of God. As for burying on the weekend, I don't know what the problem is really.
Priests are busy at the weekend.
Yeah, they're busy because there aren't enough of them, I guess, and that's the main problem. How do we get more? Probably is not being able to marry. Is that a reason for young people not joining the priesthood now? I don't know. Perhaps it is.
But first, we're going to stick with EP, not to be confused with EB. Anyway, Electric Picnic. Let's just call it Electric Picnic. So tens of thousands of young people, and old, all ages, my age, because I'm getting on a bit, I'm 38 years of age. I'm going to be 39 on October 6th. Could you imagine? And then I'll be 40. And then what? Anyway, we'll be talking about midlife crisis at Electric Picnic, but we're going to start by talking about getting a throbbing headache and about the fear setting in and how to combat it, because it really is quite an issue. For me, actually getting rid of the fear, I would always say a Big Mac meal and wash it down with a Coke or maybe some chicken nuggets. That helps. But I met these people, these festival goers, as they arrived into EP, into Electric Picnic, and I asked them how to get through the fear.
Close the curtains, curl up into the fetal position in bed, get your mother to slide the dinner under the door at about, say, 5, 6 o'clock, and then don't leave the room maybe for about 3, 4 days.
But we're at Electric Picnic. There's going to be no mammies sliding dinners True. Under the tent, is there?
True. Well, maybe if you find someone that can give a good hug, that can help, but it's only temporary. So you need to go for a more permanent fixture, I think. I'd say nice food, a bit of crack with the lads, a couple of drinks, and try and forget it. Try and forget what you've done.
How do you survive Electric Picnic? You've got cider and toilet paper.
Cider and toilet paper. Well, they're the bare essentials to deal with the fear. The toilet paper helps, because if you can't find a hug off anyone, you can just hug the toilet paper.
And the cider?
Cider's just great for any occasion. Anything. Anything at all. Christenings, baptisms, weddings, everything. Suits all occasions.
Basically, I wake up and I probably hate my life for like a solid hour. And then I kind of look around and see who I'm with. And then I have to like rethink all the decisions I made the night before. And then I decide what food I'm going to get. So then I walk to the deli and I probably get like a chicken fillet roll.
But there's no deli here at EP, is there?
At EP then, I probably wallow in my tent for like a good few hours. And then I probably walk to the car crying and sit there for a while and see what food I can gather from all the scavengers. And then I eat it.
Probably regret most of the things that I can't remember.
So you can't remember kind of blackout stuff?
Yeah. Or like you get a flashback and you're just like, nope, nope, no, no.
That didn't happen.
Nope, that didn't happen.
So there you go. Tips on how to combat the fear at Electric Picnic. I also got to meet Dr. Bobby Smith. He's an expert fear doctor. And this is what he had to say.
My name is Dr. Bobby Smith. I'm a consultant child and adolescent psychiatrist working with young people with drug and alcohol problems.
Dr. Bobby, when it comes to the fear, what is the fear, or as I know people who call it, the wolf? What is the wolf, not Duran Duran, hungry like the wolf, but the actual fear, what is it?
Well, it's a colloquial term. It's a layperson's term as opposed to a medical term. But what it describes is the heightened, I guess, sense of anxiety and being on edge that people experience, particularly if they've spent a few days heavy drinking, you know, typically maybe 3 or 4 days heavy drinking.
Like living out of a tent, living in a field with wellies, lots of drinking, lots of partying, late nights, you wake up the next day, you feel terrible. Is there a cure? How do you get past it?
There probably isn't any great cure, to be honest with you. It's probably best avoided if possible, which means maybe taking a bit of a day off the drinking if you're planning on being away partying for a few days.
So three nights, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you're saying perhaps don't drink Saturday. That would help?
Yeah. Now, that might be difficult to do, or certainly do your best to drink a little bit less. I mean, basically, alcohol is a sedative, and the brain is constantly in a state of equilibrium. I suppose there's sedating and excitatory chemicals there. They're in balance normally. When you take in a load of alcohol, which is an external sort of sedative, the natural sedative sort of switch off. They go to sleep for a while. Then on day 4, after you stop drinking, they're still switched off. So the excitatory chemicals are still going full kilter. It causes you to sort of be a little bit on edge. You almost get that sense of being I can think of myself, maybe many, many years ago, I was away on holidays a few times, and when you've got many, many nights out in a row, it is certainly quite possible to dip into that. And I suppose it's really like mild alcohol withdrawals.
Basically, it's cold turkey, but with alcohol, like you're really feeling pretty on edge.
You're feeling on edge, so I guess to keep yourself hydrated, you know, try and reduce external pressures, you know, if you do find yourself in that condition, but there's really no good way of managing it. One way that will cause it to go away in the short term, of course, is to drink more. But I clearly wouldn't be advising that, because that's just going to make it worse again, even the next day.
So Dr. Bobby Smith there talking to me about the fear. But what about seasoned festival goers? How do they get through it? Well, there's lots of people from different backgrounds, lots from the UK, including these crusties. I know I shouldn't use the word crusties, but they are seasoned festival goers. Let's take a listen.
You need to make sure you get sleep, which is quite hard for a lot of people.
Very hard, because the music is pounding until late.
Yeah, and there's obviously loads of other things that keep you awake as well. Food, make sure you get some food, Daniel. Sleep, food, rest, loads of water.
Coat yourself in coconut oil and hope for the best.
Coconut oil?
Coconut oil.
Why? How does that help you survive?
Well, it doesn't, but then you're so tanned that you just don't care about the madness.
So, like, fake tan?
No, it's not fake tan. I've never worn fake tan in my life. Coffee, condoms, and a serious load of munch.
And munch?
Yeah. Munchies. You always want your munchies.
And that there, that's just tobacco, isn't it?
Oh, it is, of course, yeah.
Good bedding, and lots of real coffee, and lots of alcohol.
And you get through.
And you get through, yeah, and plenty of sleep.
But how can you get sleep?
Oh, you do, believe
you find
me, you
it.
Do. You find it. At my age, you do.
Personal question, how old are you?
I was 58 yesterday, actually. I had my birthday
here. Happy birthday. Congratulations.
Cakes, but they put 82 on my cake.
82?
Yes.
So you're a seasoned festival goer.
Excellent.
Oh, I am. I work with the Wayward the Fairies, have done for years. Brilliant. Go and see them. They're fantastic. I'll see you up there, actually.
And are you a Wayward the Fairies?
Totally. Have been for years.
Electric picnic. Don't take anything personally. Relax. Enjoy. Have a good time.
Stung by a nettle. How do you survive, EP?
Soft drinks. All day, every day.
Well, not just that, there's always a mixer to be added back in the tent, back in the gaff.
We're actually doing some charity work, so 6 hours charity work every day.
So that, volunteering, will help you get through.
Makes you feel better later on in the night, you know.
So there you go, seasoned festival goers talking to me about the fear, putting up their tents. I met these people who had just arrived, and I asked them, how do they get through Electric Picnic? So you're trying to build your tent, and it's really quite difficult to build, isn't it?
No, it's not too bad. We're only here a few seconds now.
Just arrived?
Yeah, just arrived. Fresh, new. Come back to us at the end of the week, and you'll see how different we look.
Just don't drink much.
This is your first ever electric picnic.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking forward to it?
Yes, definitely.
And who are you looking forward to seeing?
Duran Duran.
Yeah.
Duran Duran. And, you know, Duran Duran were an 80s band.
Mm-hmm.
What decade were you born in?
The 90s, actually, but like
very
our parents, end. Yeah, our parents listened to Duran Duran, so we kind of grew up around the music.
So you love all that. You love Hungry Like a
yes.
Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
You love Rio.
Yes.
Rio,
yeah.
Yes,
Rio definitely.
Yes.
Girls on Film.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one too.
So you're looking forward to it. And they're not on stage until Sunday night at 10:45.
Yes.
Will you still be surviving EP by then?
Definitely. We have to.
Yeah.
We have to
drink a lot of water, stay hydrated, soak in the sun, the atmosphere.
Look out for the freebies.
Yes.
There's
freebies.
Yeah, you can get your hair done for free until 3 o'clock.
Can you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I feel like there'll be a big queue, but we're going to try.
So there you go. EP Electric Picnic, Having the Fear. And feel free to tweet me at Henry McKean on how to actually get through that feeling. Sometimes, you know, you have a few drinks, you perhaps party hard, and you're just not feeling great whatsoever. Here is a little bit of Chaka Khan, Ain't Nobody, who played last week at Electric Picnic. And this will take us into the next item. And this is more from EP.
I'm letting myself go. And now we fly.
Now, 55,000 people went to Stradbally, to that leash field, and they all had a good time. And they visited the Newstalk Lounge, which was great crack. And there was even another hashtag, because we were talking about hashtags earlier on. The hashtag for Newstalk was hashtag NTEP2017, which I think stands for Newstalk Electric Picnic. I think it does. No, Newstalk Lounge. That's what it was. Anyway, all these hashtags, there's so many of them. There's loads of videos up there on newstalk.com. If you missed out an EP or you didn't come to see us, it was some crack and there was some great music. There was the Divine Comedy. There was Madness. There was Shaka Khan. Sorry, I had to say that. Elbow and Duran Duran. And I missed Duran Duran. And I feel bad about that. But anyway, let's talk to these people who describe how they are actually in a midlife crisis.
I'm here for my midlife crisis.
Yeah.
That's... So you're the midlife crisis festival goer?
Yes, exactly.
Well, we're 44 and our youngest went to university and we've never been to a festival before. I said, we're definitely going this year.
So you thought, I have to come. We're in our mid-40s, if I could say, and you're never too old for EP.
Well, the people in the tent next to us are 60, so, you know, we feel young, relatively. We're in the posh tents, though.
Yeah.
You have a posh tent?
Yes, we're in the Yurts and Squirts, which is lovely and it's great, it's very civilised. So, it's been good and it's been seamless coming in and all of that, so it's been great, yeah.
Is it about the music? Is it about the crack? Is it about, as you said, the midlife crisis?
It's all those things. I didn't realise it's only, and it's perfect for midlife crisis people. I just spotted on the list there, These Charming Men are playing, which is a Smiths tribute band. That's the only thing I want to go see.
So, an older couple there. When I say older, they were 45. They were talking about having a midlife crisis at Electric Picnic. So, my tips to survive are drink lots of water, eat lots of food, try and sleep, don't get too drunk, and don't walk around with Ivan Yates as I did. And also, don't pack too many items of clothes. Just pack light. So, I asked these young people any tips on surviving Electric Picnic.
Drink on, I'd say.
Drink on, definitely. Yeah. Cans to keep you going. And maybe a bit of food, just a little bit, just to keep you going, but definitely the cans are the way to go.
And what else do you do to get through?
To get through, well, I suppose a bit of sleep, and I suppose just keep the food going, keep well hydrated, you know?
How do you survive the Electric Picnic fear?
The fear? Oh, crack open a can in the morning, cold cider will just put you right, like. I'm telling you that much. A cold cider is your only man. Or a pint of plain.
Pint of plain, right.
A lot of water, food.
Wet wipes.
Drink. Deodorant. Dry shampoo for your hair.
Dry shampoo?
That helps.
That all helps.
Cold showers.
Yeah.
And the crack.
Yeah. The crack keeps it going, doesn't it?
It keeps it going. That's how you keep going. Is it all the crack?
Yeah. And what about all the music and all the boys?
We're settled down now. We don't look at the boys, so like.
Yeah, we listen to the music though.
The music is good. You always find new different acts that are really interesting and everything. So it's
good
very
fun.
Cool, yeah.
Good way to meet new people.
Yeah.
So there you go. And this year, the Anna Liffey Drug Project, they were in the Irish Red Cross area in the welfare tent in the Jimi Hendrix campsite. And they were giving out advice like, don't take illegal drugs, which is pretty obvious. Don't buy from a supplier you don't know. Take breaks, rest and drink lots of water. Don't mix drugs and alcohol. And there's no such thing as a safe dose. All obvious, but what they're trying to say is basically don't take anything that you shouldn't take. I met these people and they told me how to survive. So that was the tent there opening. You've got a toothbrush, for example. Does that help having clean teeth?
Well, yeah, we go to the sinks and we, like, kind of brush our teeth. It kind of stinks, but we deal with it because Electric Picnic is amazing. So, you know, we just got
to
do it.
Comfy pillows. So if you have somewhere nice to sleep, I think it's nice.
And I'm inside your tent now and it's full of pillows and it's full of duvets. That all helps.
Yeah, I think so. Because you can wrap up warm as well. It's really cold at night.
And it does get pretty chilly, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was absolutely freezing last night. So we managed to wrap up warm and we were fine.
How do you survive Electric Picnic?
With a lot of alcohol.
Dry shampoo and jumpers and socks. Yeah.
100% staying in hotels, like that's the key, definitely.
And you're in a hotel?
Yeah, in a hotel for 3 nights, yeah, and lots of water, lots and lots of water.
Probably the special guest. I don't know who that is, but I bet it's going to be good.
So you're waiting for the special guest?
Yeah, definitely.
Basically, work and graft and do it all day, make the money and enjoy life being a worker.
What did I do? What don't I remember? And then the worst thing is people telling you what you did. And you're basically like, shut up, I don't actually want to hear what I hear it did. Because the less ignorance is kind of bliss, if that kind of makes sense.
Hello, my name is Joanna Ryan Purcell, and this is how I survive at Electric Picnic. I decided to put on my own show in Global Green in the Village Hall. It's my own adaptation of The Children of Lear, and there are 5 physical theatre actors performing this play on Saturday, 18:20 of Electric Picnic.
So there you go, surviving Electric Picnic. But what about the children? Because there's mixed feelings on bringing kids to festivals. But so many people bring their children to EP. It's considered family friendly. I met these kids and this man.
The circus.
You like the circus? So Aoife and Caoimhe, you're identical twins. You're 6 years of age. You're wearing a T-shirt that says Life is a Festival. Are you having a good time?
Yes.
What's great about it?
Because the circus is.
I think it's great.
What's great about it?
Watch stuff.
So it's exciting?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This year I'm working in the Soul Kids area, which is a really nice area for parents of children who'd like to come. It's a very family-friendly festival as well. But I work for the School of Archaeology, School of Irish Archaeology. And we run an event called the Big Dig, which is a simulation of a Viking house excavation. So basically it's what you would discover on a real site. We scale it down a little bit, fill it in with sand, and we've got artifacts buried. You have to think in advance, and I think bringing the essentials rather than bringing too many things is probably a good start. Over the years I've learned to do that, so you don't have so much weight coming in and out. That kind of, you often see people making that novice mistake of bringing everything but the kitchen sink. So that's the first step. After that, it's manage your money and have a good time.
So there you go, Electric Picnic 2017 for another year. That happened a whole week ago, and it was some crack. I had a good time. I know that my producer had a good time also, Aidan McKelvey, and also the whole of News Talk. We really did enjoy ourselves. Now, we're going to talk about scary clowns. And just a quick warning, if you do have children listening, this next item could be seen to be a little bit creepy and scary. So the Stephen King book and the 80s TV series, it's back with a brand new feature-length film, and it's in all cinemas at the moment, and it's about a killer clown terrorizing children in a small American town. And meanwhile, police in the States, in Pennsylvania, they're not happy because of a local prankster leaving red balloons on drains, a feature in the movie. So why are we all so afraid of clowns? And is there such a thing as a happy clown? I dressed up as a clown with Fawcett Circus, and I started by speaking to Leslie Shoemaker, chartered counselling psychologist, and she talks to me about the fear of clowns.
People are scared of clowns because what we say and what we do don't match up. That's a problem. It sends off a red warning flag in our body, in our mind. And so when you've got somebody who's got the smiley makeup on, but when you see their face really isn't smiley, it's kind of, it makes us a little bit on edge, a little bit nervous. And then especially for kids, you know, because they're really reliant on these nonverbal cues, you know, looking at the face.
Happy faces, smiley faces, but then a clown can look a bit strange and, well, like a monster.
You know what? We've got two types of clowns. We've got it. Oh my God, that book scared the living daylights out of me. And then we have the happy clown. You know, we've got the clowns that we see on TV, circuses, that type of stuff. The fear of clowns, which is now recognized in the world of psychology, it's now documented, it's officially noted as a proper phobia for the very first time ever. They reckon it goes back to early childhood, you know, because with kids, they get overwhelmed quite easily. You know, they like safety, security, predictability. And you got a clown pulling a balloon out of their arm and they're jumping around the place and they're loud and they're busy. And for small kids, this is quite overwhelming. And as a result, they start to develop a fear of even the happy clowns. Greenville, South Carolina, where they had the creepy clown. It was unnerving, just showing up places. And people kept phoning the cops about this, going, there's a clown. Very insidious. And it started happening all over the world. You know, we've got it. We've had films made on scary clowns.
There's not like any town I've ever been in before. People die or disappear 6 times the national average. And that's just grown-ups. Kids are worse.
We all
there was this clown.
Yeah, I saw him too.
Look, it's all connected by the sewers. That's where it lives.
Hi, my name is Edward Fawcett, a.k.a. Otto the Clown from Fawcett Circus.
You're probably the most famous clown in the country.
I'd like to think so, yeah. Yeah, I suppose so. You could say that. At the end of the day, it's just about the kids and putting on a show and making people laugh, I think.
So people are walking past right now and they're laughing, they're smiling. And some of them are a little bit, perhaps a tiny bit scared. Do people get scared of you ever?
Yeah, some kids get scared, sometimes adults get scared, but everybody gets scared from time to time. And when you're approached with something that looks like me, sometimes it can be a little bit scary.
For people at home, you've got crazy hair, a bit like Jedward, but bigger again.
Elvis Presley quiff, but like really, really big.
How long did that take to do?
Takes me about half an hour.
At the moment, the film It is coming out about a scary clown, and also there's... In the States, sometimes people dress up as clowns to scare people. Do you think, you know, there is such a thing as a happy clown and a scary clown?
I think there's just happy clowns and then scary people, really. So, that's what it is.
You could be scary and not be dressed up as a clown.
Well, yeah, true. But the most of these scary clowns, they're all just people that have got something wrong with them and they're putting on a face then to go out and just scare people. So, but that's not what clowns are all about.
What are they about?
We're all about just having fun and making people laugh and having a crack, really.
So, for example, Fawcett's tours the country. It's going to be in Neenah this weekend. And the kids there, they'll be very excited to see you, but maybe one or two might be scared.
Yeah, sometimes kids, they come in, they get scared. But, you know, when you come into the circus, it's a lot. There's lights, there's music happening, there's a lot going on. Then all of a sudden, out of the corner comes the clown. Sometimes it can be a little bit scary. But usually, by the time we get like halfway through the show, they all warm up to me. Then they see I'm just a nice guy. So.
Okay, so I'm going to get dressed up now as a clown. Yeah. Any tips?
Just stay happy and positive.
So, Edward, we're actually putting on the makeup now. I'm getting into the clown outfit, and it's stripy, and there's kind of a yellowy tartan as well.
Yeah, you're starting to look hilarious, yes.
Am I?
Yeah, you are, yeah. You just need the personality to come out a little bit more now. We go run around the town, cause some mayhem.
So now it's the white makeup.
Yeah, so this is the foundation of all clown makeup. It's the white, and we're just going to slap it on here now.
Hi, I'm Mandy Berry, and I'm working in Fun Place.
So we're here in Fun Place at the moment, and we've got loads and loads of different outfits and lots of clowns. For example, there's one here that I'm picking up that's pretty scary. Are people coming in and buying clown outfits?
All year round is popular. Last Halloween we did because of all the scares of the clowns.
The scary clowns.
Yeah, because of the scary clowns from last year.
You're a clown.
Well, the old-fashioned clown was humorous, but there is a dark twist on them now. And there's, I can understand, the malevolent ones that they now use in films.
So you don't like those creepy clowns?
No, I don't
like
the creepy clowns. There's someone going to jump out, isn't there?
I think there's someone going to jump out. Are you okay?
Yeah.
They're not funny at all.
So you don't really like clowns?
No.
You don't find them funny?
No. Sure, especially whilst everything's going on now. They're chasing you and they're scary masks and everything, really. It's just not... I see it all over Facebook and stuff, so it's not really great for kids, is it?
I don't like clowns.
How come?
I know they always frightened me as a child.
So even growing up, they frightened you?
Even growing up. Happy the Clown made me very scared.
And was it their big nose? Was it
the
hair?
Makeup, the face. They seemed very... just seemed very frightening. Their hair, the makeup. They never seemed happy to me.
So you don't like them?
No.
Are you scared of them?
Yes.
Even in adulthood?
Even in adulthood, yes. I went to stay at someone's house and they had clowns all over their bed. I had to move the clowns off the bed.
They had clowns in the bed?
They had clowns in the bed.
Oh, my goodness.
Stuffed clowns, yeah.
Oh, they were stuffed?
Yes.
Bill, if you'll come with me, you'll float too. You'll float too. You'll float too. You'll float too.
I also don't like clowns. I think they're terrifying. With that said, the trailer for the movie is great in that it really plays on that, and it's very very creepy, and I know that all my friends are kind of talking about it, and they're excited to see it, even though it will freak us out.
In the States, people have been putting red balloons on drains, like the original book or TV movie. It's scary.
Yeah, I live in Los Angeles, and they actually... I think it's on Hollywood Boulevard. They have this whole It house. and it's like a pop-up house for 2 months, and it's a scary house that you can go through. I think the tickets are free, but it sold out immediately. All of my friends were trying to get tickets and there aren't any left.
The makeup, and you cannot see you what
it's
you have
the makeup.
On.
And is it the big shoes? Is it the big hands?
Nails as well.
The nails?
Yeah. I don't know. You're scaring me.
I'm scaring you.
Yeah.
So what sort of clown name should I go for?
I think Henry's pretty good. I think your actual name is a pretty good clown name. I think it fits.
So Henry the Clown?
Henry the Clown sounds very... It sounds nice. It doesn't sound very intimidating.
It's not scary.
No.
And do I look very ridiculous now, dressed up as a clown with full clown makeup?
We're getting there. We're getting there.
We're actually stopping traffic at the moment. Cars are slowing down.
I love your hair. It's crazy.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
How long did it take you to do that?
Half an hour.
That's all?
Yeah.
It's really cool.
And you ladies could be in there in the bathroom all night long.
Wow.
Still not ready.
No.
They seem to be scary.
So this child is scared?
Probably, yeah.
He's about 4 or 5?
No. 4.
And we are quite scary, aren't we?
Yes.
And we're dressed up as clowns. What do you think of our outfit?
You're very bright.
So what do you think of clowns?
They're a little creepy.
A little creepy?
Yeah.
A little.
And what do you think?
I'm kind of on the same page.
So we're both dressed up. This is a real clown.
So
here.
You think I'm creepy?
Well, I didn't say you directly. I don't know.
You're a little bit freaked out. You're frowning. You're looking scared.
Yeah. I think it's just so many bad movies with clowns.
Were you not expecting to be approached on this street by two clowns? No, not really today?
Added some spice to my day.
Today. No.
Definitely not.
God, you want to run away, don't you?
Maybe a little.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
People are scared. We've just tried to stop people there and they run away.
Yeah, because that's what happens when a clown comes out of a corner and goes, oh, hello, please talk to me. As you're walking down the street, you don't think you're going to see a clown in the middle of the day. Some people are frightened of clowns, yeah, because it's intimidating when somebody comes up to you in the street and you look just completely weird. They can come and see us in Nina for the rest of this week, and then we're in Limerick next week with the shows all week as well. FawcettCircus.com.
I don't really know if it's funny.
You're not sure if it's funny? A bit scary?
It's something sad about it, that you have to do it.
So there you go. I was out there with Fawcett Circus looking at how clowns can be quite scary. And this is because Stephen King's It, the scary clown movie, it's in all cinemas now. And a huge thank you to Fawcett Circus. And remember, they're in Nina and Limerick this weekend and into next week. I think it's Limerick, so check them out. And here is Free, All Right Now, to try and get us all to relax a little bit after the scary clowns.
There she stood. In the street, smiling from her head to her feet. I said, hey, what is this? Now, baby, maybe, maybe she's in need of a kiss. I said, hey, what's your name, baby? Maybe we can see things the same. Now, don't you wait or hesitate. Let's move. Home to my place, watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your game, baby? Are you trying to put me in shame? I said, slow, don't go so fast. Don't you think that love can last? She said, love.
Now, a ban on Sunday funerals has come into force in the Diocese of Kerry, which includes parts of Cork and the Limerick border, many parishes no longer have a full-time priest. And to combat this, because of the priest shortage, Sunday funerals will be banned. Parishes across the country are struggling with priests' numbers. So is it time to allow priests to get married? I spoke to parishioners in Drogheda who still allow Sunday funerals, but for how long?
It was actually on a Saturday.
So your granny was buried on a Saturday?
Oh, on a Saturday, yeah.
Can you see why weekend funerals could be a thing of the past?
People die every day. But why would you country's a joke, that's what it is.
Why would you say it's a thing of the past?
Because priests in Kerry and in parts of Ireland, there's less of them. They can't do all the mass. They can't do everything on a Sunday. There isn't enough priests to go around to take funeral.
I get what you're saying, but down in this parish here, there's two priests. Like, why can't they employ more priests?
Well, they're trying to, but they're not coming forward. Like, why aren't you a priest?
I don't think I'd be fit to be a priest.
Why not?
Because I have a terrible criminal background.
So, like, a part of you thinks you're just not priest material?
Big time, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be. It's not my thing. No, I'm like yourself. I like a girlfriend. Yeah,
so
I don't
like
think
girl.
I could go the rest of my life without having sex. Like, why are they not allowed to be married? Why are they not allowed to be involved with a woman? What is it?
Want a Sunday funeral? Let them have a Sunday funeral.
So if they want a Sunday funeral,
they want to let them have it. Yes.
But if there isn't a priest to take it, should it be the deacon? Should it be you? Should it be a layman?
You can get a nun or get someone to say if you're a priest.
Get a nun. But you think continue?
Yes. Continue on a Sunday.
It's very complex. It's coming to the stage that women will be doing the job. And then we have people coming from Africa that we educated.
It's the cathedral. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Creator of heaven and earth. I was at Mass already today. My wife is waiting for me in there.
Should priests continue to take Sunday funerals even though they're very, very busy on a Sunday?
I can't see anything wrong with
it. I'm here in St. Peter's Parish and there's prayers being said behind us. Can you understand why so many parishes now are stopping funerals on a Sunday?
No, I can't. I think they should be allowed on a Sunday since it is a holy day anyway. So the church should be open to allow funerals.
Anybody dies, right? Even old or young or anything. So shall we priests do their funerals?
Across Ireland right now, more and more parishes and more dioceses are saying, look, we can't do Sunday funerals anymore.
All over the whole world, people are dying every day.
People do die every day.
Yeah, I know, I've seen that, you know, in television, the RT1 and BBC1. You know.
As far as dying, I mean, you don't choose when you're going to die, but otherwise that's in the hands of God. As for burying on the weekend, I don't know what the problem is, really.
Priests are busy at the weekend?
Yeah, they're busy because there aren't enough of them, I guess, and that's the main problem. How do we get more? Probably is not being able to marry, is that a reason for young people not joining the priesthood now? I don't know. Perhaps it is.
Did you ever think about joining the priesthood?
I actually did. I was very, very young, yes.
When you were a teenager?
Yeah, when I was still in secondary school, it crossed my mind. Because at the time that we used to have the missions used to come round to the churches, it crossed my mind. But
could I say, I hope you don't mind me saying this, that you're quite priestly.
Am I?
A priestly manner.
I don't think so. I'm a doctor, actually.
You're a doctor. Oh, I was close. Doctor priest. So you're saying allow priests to get married and then continue.
I don't know what the problem is. I mean, they used to at one time. A lot of these things are man-made laws. Now, why are they man-made? I don't know. I guess they may think that priests won't have enough time to devote to their parish work and also give some time to their family. But Protestant ministers are doing it.
So this particular Sunday funeral, how did it work? Were the normal masses, did they take place?
It was at 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock funeral?
Yeah, funeral. Yep.
So it was a later funeral?
Yeah. He was a local man, you know, a businessman. That's why he had it on Sunday. The local butchers in town, he owned 5 shops in town.
And the butcher wanted to have his funeral on a Sunday,
the
so
family
all the
did.
Businesses
the
could
family,
go.
Yeah.
And they wanted it.
On a Sunday, because they only worked six days off.
They have no alternative but to ban Sunday funerals. They can't. There's not the priest there. That's all it's about it. They're not there.
Have you gone to a Sunday funeral before?
I have, yes.
And you know, people die, they need to get buried.
I know that, but
and sometimes they're even charged more, yeah, if they decide to have a funeral at weekend.
There's no funerals in Dublin on a Sunday due to this, the staff, the undertakers. They don't do it on a Sunday in Dublin.
So you can't get an undertaking?
No, not on a Sunday, no.
What's the answer? Is it allowing priests to get married? Is it allowing more deacons to take services?
It's too late now. The day has been cast. It's too late. Too late. They should have moved 40 years ago. I'd be all for women priests.
You were at a Sunday funeral just yesterday.
Yesterday in Drumcondrath, yes.
So you were at a funeral yesterday in County Meath, a Sunday funeral. I'm sure it was busy, wasn't it? Weekend funerals are.
Yeah, absolutely full. We couldn't even get into the church, popular lady. But yes, it was full. The small village, everything shut down for the funeral.
Can you see why so many dioceses are now beginning to ban Sunday funerals?
I'll be honest, I'm originally from Dublin and never heard of a weekend funeral. It was, you know, never heard of a Sunday funeral, yeah.
So in some areas, the priests have to travel to four or five parishes because of the lack of priests.
Correct.
So they can't add a funeral in there too because they're just so busy. Congregations are getting smaller, but so are priests. There's less and less of them.
Yeah, I do. I think one point you mentioned, they should be allowed to get married. There are less people joining the priesthood. So obviously the older priests are retiring and then there's no new blood coming in, you know, so it is restricting the priests around the different parishes, and it probably will stop Sunday funerals, I'd imagine.
I can see why they wouldn't have a funeral on a Sunday. Very few priests now, and they're stretched as they are, having funerals practically every day of the week and then maybe three or four masses on a Sunday.
So they're dealing with christenings?
Christenings, weddings, funerals, illnesses, everything. Communions in school, confirmations in school.
And there's less of them?
Less priests, yeah.
So what is the answer?
Let them get married. Let them get married.
So you can see why Sunday funerals are becoming a thing of the past?
Yes. Yeah, Sunday funerals, no go.
Well, they should be allowed to get married, definitely. Sunday funerals, what I don't agree with is Sunday funerals can be the ordinary Sunday mass, so the chapel's full and it's all strangers. You know, I think everybody should have their individual funeral mass with your mourners at it. I see it myself in mass now. Say the last mass of the day could be the ordinary Sunday mass, and then people don't know what to do at the end. They get up to leave. Well, you know,
and the funeral's taking place.
Funeral's taking place. It's a very awkward situation. It's a lot of strangers. I personally think everyone's entitled to their own funeral. Now Sunday, I suppose I can understand there is a very shortage of priests. I know that myself. Yeah.
And have you been to a Sunday funeral? A
couple of times I've been to the Mass, and I would stay till the end. I wouldn't get up
so
and leave.
So you were at the Mass anyway, and there was a funeral?
That's what I mean. There was a funeral, but I wouldn't get up and leave at the very end. I'd just wait, you know. But I can understand people who do. It's an awkward situation.
And why are the Irish so good at funerals?
It's just an Irish thing. A good wake and a good send-off.
Good send-off and a good wake.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, they can be bigger than a wedding.
It's nice to take the person home to them. My own mother passed 5 weeks ago.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Thanks. And we took her home, and the amount of people that called to the house, it was tiring, but it was so lovely. And then she left from her own home with her family around her and then to the church. So I think that's nice.
In this day and age, I think priests really should be allowed to marry. Like, it's not like it was years ago, and things are different now, and it's more of a normality. You can still be committed to God and committed to your job. It is a job at the end of the day. And just can still be committed to something without having to change your life drastically like that.
So the Irish like to be buried quickly, within a few days, not like in the UK where they could keep them on ice for 10 days or longer.
Yeah.
So let's say, for example, you pass away on a Thursday. You can't get a weekend funeral anymore. Mm. So it could be Monday or Tuesday before there's an available date.
Yeah.
What's your take?
Personally, I wouldn't. If that was me now, I'd, and a family member, I'd like to go ahead with the funeral.
As soon as.
And I think a lot of people would feel the same. Not for any particular reason, but just that it's a bit of closure. Things move a bit faster and you can try and deal with things after the funeral, I suppose, as opposed to waiting, having a body in the house over a weekend.
You know, the Irish love a good funeral. We love a good death notice on regional radio and local radio.
Or a good session. Which is
a good session.
Yeah, I think so.
The lack of priests is a big problem in this country, and it's getting worse as we go along, you know. Sunday, if they haven't got the priests, it doesn't happen if it's Sunday, and that's as far as I'm concerned.
Do you mind if the loved one is left on ice for a few more days?
Well, a day or two might not make that much difference, I don't think. So look at the UK, they're there for 3 weeks and that. Because
they do,
you
like to leave them there for a bit, don't they?
That's it, yeah. I'm going over to a funeral on Tuesday, actually. A brother-in-law of mine, and he died three weeks ago,
and he's still not buried.
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
So that's the way it is, you know.
So you could get a cruise in beforehand and then still make the funeral?
Absolutely, no problem, you know. So that's the story, as far as I'm concerned, anyway, you know.
So a huge thank you there to everyone in Drogheda talking about ending funerals on a Sunday. We understand that Drogheda will continue to allow Sunday funerals, but parts of Dublin, Kerry and the country are beginning to stop Sunday funerals because of a priest shortage. And that's it for this week. And thank you for listening. And a huge thank you to my technician, Lee Duncan, and to my producer, Aidan McKelvey. And here is Rude by Magic, the 2014 global hit. And up next, Tom Dunn.
Saturday morning, jumped out of bed and put on my best suit. Got in my car, raced like a jet all the way to you. Knocked on your door with heart in my head to ask you a question, 'cause I know that you're an old-fashioned man. Yeah. Can I have your daughter for the rest of my life? Say yes, 'cause I need to know. You say I'll never get your blessing till the day I die. Tough luck, my friend, but the answer is you know I'm human.